You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 8th of January. A super game in Milwaukee, a creative game plan, a lot of effort, too much Bucks in the end. Plus a Ricky Rubio injury, and where does it leave the Jazz on a Time Machine Tuesday? It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Hope you're doing great. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky little numbers, and hopefully something cool to know about the team. Today's show brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai. If you got one of those smart speakers for the holidays, tell it to play podcast Locked On Jazz. Well, last night was a great game. The lead changes, the ties, the battle, the effort, the energy, great defensive effort, super beautiful offense, ball moving, all sorts of really awesome aspects to last night's game. Effort level through the roof on both sides last night. That was really a great, great basketball game. Jazz fall to the Bucks. We had 24 lead changes, 10 ties. 23 of those lead changes came in the first three quarters in all, and 9 ties all happened in the first three quarters of last night's game. And the real story last night was the very creative game plan that the Jazz took to the Bucks, in which Rudy Gobert guarded Giannis Antetokounmpo, and they had Gobert stay in the paint. So when Giannis got the ball outside the three-point line, Rudy just stayed in the paint, never went out to him. And it clearly kind of flustered Giannis, had him in an uncomfortable way about when he was supposed to shoot and where he was going to shoot and how he was going to get shots. It was really, really creative. The hope that didn't work as well as I think the Jazz had wanted was the Bucks don't run a lot of stuff. The Bucks are 26th in the league in passes, 28th in picks, 29th in handoffs. They don't run a lot of stuff. They just kind of come at you eighth, and they run a lot of isolation, a lot of drives. And I think the hope was that having Rudy in the paint could deny some of those drives, and that didn't happen. The Bucks were able to still play their one-on-one game, get their isolation going. Malcolm Brogdon really kind of went at the Jazz a few times. It felt like Donovan on a few of them. And they were able to get to the paint. Gobert couldn't take away both Giannis and the paint last night, which turned out, honestly, I thought going into the game, I thought the Jazz system was great because I thought it would take away the drives. Watching, you know, when you watch the Bucks, it jumps out to you, if you haven't watched them all year, how little stuff they run. They really just penetrate, and then they kick out to shooters and get great looks. They came in. The Jazz were the number one team in the league in shot quality coming in. The Bucks were the number four team in the league in shot quality. I think defensively were the number four or five defensive team in shot quality. They're the number one. So you had two teams that just play the game analytically, very smart. Try to take away the rim defensively, take away the three, which the Jazz do great. The Bucks take away the rim just at all costs, forcing you to play from the outside. And it was just a fascinating matchup, and the Jazz plan on Giannis worked. Giannis ended up making the one shot that they're saying was an 8-footer. I certainly didn't see anything. Otherwise, he was 0-4. Outside of the restricted area. It took him 30 points to take 30, score 30, 30 shots to score 30 points. He missed 17 shots, which is either the most this season or the most of his career. And the Jazz, really that part of the plan worked very well. They defended Middleton very, very well. It was the rest of the guys that got him. Brook Lopez scored 15 points on 6 shots. Malcolm Brogdon had 21 points on 14 shots. And Thon Maker was the real killer. But Brogdon's ability to just drive by guys, both on the baseline and coming from the top, was a little surprising. Giannis just plays so incredibly hard. He and Russell Westbrook probably are the two guys that play harder than anyone else in the entire league. You don't get very often to have a matchup of the two best players on the floor just going head to head in this and have it be in this kind of unique way, which is having Giannis Antetokounmpo go head to head with Rudy Gobert on almost every possession on that side. And it's interesting because I think it was continued for those of you like myself who believe Rudy's, you know, one of the top 10 players in the league. I thought last night showed it. I mean, I just don't think there's anybody else out there that can do and have the impact on the game and have an impact on Giannis the way Rudy did last night. And it a credit to the Jazz coaching staff. I believe Zach Guthrie, assistant coach, was in charge of that scout. I think maybe Antonio Lang was the personnel, but I don't know who the personnel guy was. Maybe it was Fotis, only because we didn't see that portion of shoot around. We usually see it. But here's a guy who's shooting 58%. He's shooting 77% at the rim, and the Jazz found a way to keep him off the rim and to force him into other shots. Pretty awesome game plan. Pretty interesting thing to watch. All sorts of little strategy things at the end. The Bucks started making nice adjustments. They started running a few more pick and rolls late in the game, which then Gobert's forced to go to the ball and come off Giannis a little bit. They ran a back pick on the backside of Gobert, which the Jazz actually practiced and shoot around and were aware of, but it's awfully hard when you do it with a point guard. Then Neto being in there and being small is the one suddenly reaching in to try to deal with Gobert. Deal with Giannis. So really an interesting game plan all the way around. It's the most shots Giannis has taken in a game all year. Only taking 6 free throws. So it was fascinating. And the Jazz in the first half played brilliantly. Defense, and I'm just staying on the defensive side here. And they didn't end up with a great defensive rating, which is probably a tribute to the Bucks and Giannis. The Jazz denied the 3 really well last night. The Bucks shoot 40% of their shots from 3. And last night they only got 24% of their shots from 3. They did get 46% of their shots at the rim. That was the one thing that happened last night as Gobert was working with Giannis, other guys didn't guard their yard. And so the Bucks ended up with 44 shots at the rim, made 68% of them, and that's what yielded them the ability to make those plays. But that was a really interesting battle because the Jazz are the third best team in the league at denying the 3, and the Bucks are the number 2 team in the league at taking the 3, and the Jazz were able to deny the 3s more. Now the Bucks, you know, first preference is probably to get on the rim if you can shoot 30 of 44, so it's not all that admirable, but it was pretty impressive in a lot of different ways there on how the Jazz defended, played it. Their final defensive rating last night, I think, came out to about 115, so that's not great. 113. On the other end, the Bucks are the number 2 team in the league offensively right now and probably coming in right about that. The Bucks number 2 at 113.5. So, you know, we held the Bucks right to their season average offensively, which we'd like to be better than that. But it still pretty interesting to see that take place. So Warriors, by the way, are 1 by 0.1. Then the Rockets are 3. Pelicans are 4. Spurs are 5 now. Raptors are 6. Denver 7. Clippers are 8 offensively. Hornets 9 and Celtics 10. Celtics 10 is interesting. Jazz defensive rating is now 5th in the league. Bucks have slid to 4th after last night's game. Celtics 3rd, Indiana 2nd, Thunder are still number 1. But Jazz are climbing their way up pretty considerably here. and separating themselves from Miami and Memphis, who's fading, and the Lakers, who are actually eighth defensively to their credit. Denver's fading a little bit, who's ninth defensively, and Toronto's fading a good deal, who's 10th defensively without Jonas. So, or Jonas Valanciunas. The Jazz are moving themselves in the top five and higher defensively, I think, in the upcoming games. Giannis' defense late in the game was just brilliant as well. We'll talk about the Jazz offensively, the Ricky Rubio injury, and what that means before we go into Time Machine Tuesday as we continue here on Locked On Jazz. Did you get one of those smart speakers for Christmas? If you did, then tell it to play podcast Locked On Jazz or podcast Locked On NBA. Ben Golliver has joined Wes and David for the Tuesday edition today. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai in Salt Lake, located at 4646 South State Street in Logan and in Linden as well. If you're shopping for a new car, take a minute and just add Hyundai to the list. If you're looking for a sedan, just look at the Sonata and look at the Elantra. If you're looking for an SUV, we bought the Santa Fe. If you're looking for a small, quick, little tiny kind of cross-track Subaru type, take a look at the Kona. You can decide what you want. I'm not going to tell you how to spend your money. But what I am going to tell you is if you do the cross-check and you take the time to go to 4646 South State Street, walk onto their showroom, look at their cars, see what you can get for your dollar, it will be a legitimate consideration. Maybe you're not as well-versed. I feel like if you're younger, you know the Hyundai brand well, and you're comfortable with it. If you're like me, it took me a little while. I didn't understand the great value to it. Now I own one, as we bought one for our son. I'm driving the brand-new Santa Fe right now. It's just terrific. The Kona was so fun when we had it as well. And I like their hybrid an awful lot. I was super impressed by the Ioniq hybrid. So check it out. Plus, you get the Murdoch guarantee that's driven them for 90-plus years of business in Utah as you get oil changes for life, car washes for life, as well as stopping by, and they get the five-day price match guarantee. It is Murdoch Hyundai, 4646 South State Street. So offensively last night was an interesting game for the Jazz because the Bucks just do not let you get to the rim. They're just completely 100% committed to not getting you to the rim. And for the most part on the night, the Jazz understood that, pinged the basketball around, got great three-point looks, shot over 50% in the first half, or right around 50% in the first half, and really moved it terrifically. Donovan was hot. I think he finished 6 of 12 from 3. 6 of 12 from 3. And that certainly helped. And the Jazz really moved the ball beautifully, understood exactly what was going on. They stayed with that. The third quarter, the shots stopped falling because you're not going to shoot 50% most nights. And by the end of the night, they actually just shot a little above their season average at 38%, right where they should have. The problem was they didn't hit any mid-range shots. This is a classic example where if we put mid-range in the box score, you would be talking about it today. They went 8 of 25 on mid-range shots. The Bucks had some very, the Bucks prep like the Jazz do. That was so instrumental last night. You have best friend, really, really good friends who are coaching each other, spend a lot of time together. Both have the same intellectual perspective to the game. Both of them prep as much as any team in the league. And so the Bucks had a very specific plan on Korver. He had a hard time getting free outside the three-point line and ended up taking 4 of his 9 shots as twos, hitting 3 of 4 of those and pressing a little bit to get off his 5 threes. None of them were good looks last night. They were leaving Derek Favors wide open. He took them. Joe just was not either getting looks or Joe's just not quite right now. I mean, I think that's pretty clear. We can let Joe have his airspace and get himself back right. They weren't guarding Favors. They weren't guarding Rubio. Rubio took advantage of it. He had 9 points and an assist for all 11 points in his opening 5 minutes before he hurt the hamstring. And we'll see what that means. Jay Crowder was getting the same looks with a little less room than what we were getting for Derek Favors. And didn't knock down all of them. Didn't have a crazy night, which probably is what you have to have. You probably have to have, because of how smart they play, you have to have a crazy, crazy night. shooting the three because they're playing such a great game. We'd always talk about shot quality. Last night's one of the few nights of the year the Jazz actually had the Bucks had a slightly better shot quality than the Jazz. 52.5 QSQ to 52.0. The Bucks were 52.5. The Jazz were 52.0 shot quality. The Jazz for the season are number one in the league at 54.4. So the Bucks, whose defense is, as I mentioned, the number one defensive shot quality team in the league, at 50, absolutely split the difference and got the Jazz right in between that. Jazz are the sixth best now. It kind of slipped a little bit last night. There's like a 0.1 difference between six and three. Are the sixth best team in shot quality. The Bucks are fourth best, so the Jazz defense brought them back, but they were actually a little bit better in shot quality than the Jazz last night, which is a rarity that Jazz don't have that advantage. So it meant that we had to have a lights-out shooting night to be able to get him. I thought Neto was terrific last night. He's obviously just always ready, plays with such heart. 29 minutes last night, 10.6 rebounds, 5 assists. He's just great. He just battles. But I thought, you know, it's hard to say whether, I don't know if this changed the outcome of the game, but the Jazz had a sequence. Well, this certainly changed the outcome of the game. If this is because of fatigue or the Bucks just wearing them down or the Bucks just being really good, the Donovan played, I believe, unless he checked out briefly and I missed it to open the fourth quarter, Donovan had played an incredibly I think Donovan didn't play the first minute and a half of the fourth quarter and then came back in. And it was about a 4 or 5 play sequence where both Donovan and Neto stopped moving the ball. The game was Jazz 95-92 when it started, and Neto kind of missed a 2-point shot. And then next time down, I think they got free throws, and then Donovan missed a 15-footer, and then Donovan missed a 13-footer, and then Neto missed a driving layup. And by the time, actually, I think that that started it. The Jazz were actually down, then they were down 3 by that point. And the killer play, Middleton hit a shot, and so then the Jazz were down 5. And the killer play, which was you just can't get down by more than 6 late in games. 3:41 left in the game, 6-point game, and Adetokounmpo got the dunk that suddenly just changed, you know, the complexion of what how the game would finish. And then with 2:20 left, Lopez hit the 3. So now the Jazz are really shorthanded. I have not heard anything official from the Jazz on Dante Exum's sprained ankle, but it's a sprained ankle, so I think we could probably, you know, there was a report that he's expected to miss a couple of weeks. I don't know if that's true. That's not something that that I have heard, but it's a sprained ankle. You're not expecting him back tomorrow. Tony Jones said in The Athletic that he expected to miss due to the ankle sprain, and he's out. So suddenly, well, Rubio is having an MRI, I believe, today on that hamstring. And, you know, his reaction was he knew that there was something significantly wrong. He didn't. He immediately called to come out of the game, banged on the table, walked back. And you know what? Hamstring injuries in the NBA are not, you know, James Harden only missed 2 games, which was probably great. Chris Paul missed 2 weeks earlier this year. Devin Booker missed a little bit of time, so it'll be interesting to see, you know, where this judges. But if there's, you know, when Donovan tweaked his hamstring, we didn't have an MRI on it. So that, to me, says there's some severity here. And suddenly the Jazz are Donovan's going to have to go back to playing point guard. He talked after the game that he learned in the Houston series just to not change what he was doing, just to play it regularly. We'll see how he's able to do that. Maybe it will kickstart him a little bit. He's been playing much better as of late, and maybe just having the ball back in his hands. He used to play an awful lot of the time with the ball in his hands, and so maybe that'll help him out a little bit and make him feel more comfortable. But how will Neto, who, you know, as a rookie, started more games than any rookie did in his that year of that draft class, if I remember correctly, he's been always able to hold ground, but he is little. And that's the only thing. And then he often, you know, goes so hard that he gets hurt. Hasn't started a game since the 15-16 season, but I would suspect he starts against Orlando. Now, the matchups are interesting coming up here as we start our home stretch. So he has DJ Augustine, who's playing very, very well for Orlando, but he probably something Neto can handle. Lonzo Ball, Lakers. He's awfully long, awfully fast, and awfully big. That's a tough one. Chicago, should not be particularly tough. Chris Dunn. And then Detroit, Reggie Jackson's just a speed issue, but Neto can probably. So it's not a bad sequence. The Clippers with Bradley were in L.A. on the 16th with Bradley and Beverly and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander might not be bad. Cleveland shouldn't be that bad. Then Dame Lillard's going to be a problem on the 21st. Maybe some guys are back by then, as that's, you know, 13 days away. And then Denver will be really tough with Jamal Murray. So, the Jazz are going to have to find a way to get through this next four-game homestand against teams that are all scuffling and win even without regular rotation players. But hamstring injuries for the Jazz in Cephalosha and in Rubio in back-to-back games is too bad. And so now you have, and with Exum, so hopefully you're just getting thin. You know, you're missing 50 minutes out of your rotation in a given night. Jazz matchup on or play against, or, you know, it's a good Orlando Lakers, Chicago Detroit. Like that's you're supposed to make hay in this upcoming sequence. It's what we've been waiting for the whole time. Locked On Fantasy Basketball with Josh Lloyd's fabulous show. Gives you a great recap of what happened the night before, plus all the daily fantasy information you need. So make sure you go grab that on the Locked On Podcast Network. All right, Time Machine Tuesday. Let's pull into a little bag. I got my little bag with all my numbers here. And we pull out and we grab 10 years ago. 2010. Or no, 2009, 2010. Let's look at, all right, let's go to our basketball reference. 2009, 2010, and see, what does this team end up? This is Jerry Sloan. This is Jerry Sloan's last year, full year. It's fun. I had a great conversation with Kyle Korver the other day about these teams and how talented they were. all right, 2009, 2010. This is a team that beat Denver when Adrian Dantley was closing beating the Nuggets, then got swept by the Lakers in the playoffs. Let's see. January 8th, we played the Memphis Grizzlies in back-to-back games. Interesting, we always think this never happens. We played at home against Memphis on the 6th, blew them out, and lost on the 8th at Memphis. Not a good start to the season by this team. This team ended up winning 53 games. It was awesome. We were 19-17. To start the season, let's go look at the box score. We lost 91-89. Ronnie Price started for us that night, so Darren must have been on the shelf. Carlos Boozer, Mehmet Okur, Ronnie Brewer, CJ Miles went 0-7 to get much wrath. Paul Millsap came off the bench for 30 minutes. Andre Kirilenko played only 19. Kyle Korver played 15 minutes that night and went 1-for-2 from three. We shot 11 threes in that entire game 10 years ago. Incredible. Wesley Matthews came off the bench to go 2-for-9. Kirilenko and Sundi Adegaines both played in that game. The Memphis Grizzlies, Mike Conley and Marc Gasol with Zach Randolph, O.J. Mayo, and Rudy Gay. That was a pretty good team. They were only 18-17. Zach Randolph had 29 that night and 15 as he beat up on Boozer at just 13-12. Marc Gasol had 8-6 against Memo. And Rudy Gay had 22 against our myriad of wings. Wow, what a terrible wing night we had. Miles went 0-7 in 25 minutes. Wesley Matthews went 2-9. Kyle Korver did have a pretty good night, going 4-5. Ronnie Brewer played 25 minutes. The Jazz were outscored 33-14 in the first quarter, fought their way back, and ended up losing it 91-89 to Memphis 10 years ago. It's kind of a funny little memory there. I think we went out to Dallas on a back end. Was I calling this? I think so. I was calling this, I think. Yeah, because I called the Denver playoff series. Yeah, this is my first year. I should remember these games. I probably have a bunch of notes in my... we went to Dallas on the back end of a back-to-back the next day and blew out the Mavericks, who were good. I mean, blew them out. 111-93. Darren came back and played, had 20 and 9. Boozer Memo, Ronnie Brewer, CJ Miles. Karolinko played 30 off the bench that night with 9 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. Kyle Korver played 15 minutes, was 2 of 2 from 3, 5 of 5 overall. Wesley Matthews played 14. Paul Millett, what a team. Gosh, this team was good. Darren Williams, Ronnie Brewer, CJ Miles, Carlos Boozer, Mehmet Okur. Not sure we were starting all the right guys. Our bench was Karolinko, Millsap, Korver, and Wesley Matthews. Wow. We trade Ronnie Brewer, I believe, to clear some time up. Later in that stretch. But that team was good. That Dallas team was 25-12. J.J. Barea, Eric Dampier, Sean Marion, Jason Kidd, Dirk Nowitzki. Dirk had 29. Kidd had 19. Jason Terry came off the bench for 16, but the Jazz blasted him, winning the next night. 111-93. Jumped on him early and held on in Dallas. Slow pace of play, 86-pace possession game. I wonder what the Memphis pace was. We're playing like 105 almost every night. That one had 86. The Memphis game had 89. So those were two slow pace of play games. We took 11 threes against Memphis, and we took 17 because Darren was back, so he took 7. We took 17 against Dallas. How the world has changed. That is Time Machine Tuesday. That is Locked On Jazz. Thank you very much for tuning in to today's program. Now go tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On NBA.